Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of QSR Uncut. I'm your host, Danny Klein, the editorial director at QSR, and joined by my colleague and co-host, Ben Coley. And so we are recording this, I guess, 6 days after Thanksgiving, and I think a pretty fitting brand to do so with, as we'll get into here in a second with Honey Baked Ham. So, Trip, and we just went over how to pronounce this, so I'm going to try to do this correctly. McLaughlin. It's close. Glocklin.
Nailed it. Hey, Danny. Hey, Ben.
So Trip is the CMO, but like I said, and before I get started, though, Trip, I'll give you a chance here just to introduce yourself. Maybe tell everybody a little bit about your role, your very interesting background, and then we'll kind of get into, you know, the brand and some exciting things going on, and we'll take it from there.
Sure. Sounds good. Well, very excited to be here. You know, obviously, the holiday season, Thanksgiving is a huge part of our business, very relevant to the brand itself. So it's a very busy time for us and looking forward to talking more about it. But, you know, I've been at Honey Baked for about 18 months now, Danny. I'm the chief marketing officer. I oversee everything from kind of the traditional brand development, brand strategy, brand activation, and communications to customers. So advertising, PR, kind of in the in-store experience, what our new product strategy is, any type of partnerships and licensing, and really just kind of understanding and developing how we can make the brand more relevant to customers out there. So we've done some really exciting things at Honey Baked through these 18 months I'll talk about. Prior to Honey Baked, I worked at Hilton for about 10 years, doing a lot of brand development there, creating some new brands, working internationally, and kind of helping them expand into new customer segments. A lot of relevancy to what we're doing here at Honey Baked now. And prior to that, I worked in confections at Wrigley, and I was a consultant before that. So I had a lot of different industries, but have a fun time.
So concessions at Wrigley Field, is that what we're talking about?
Confections for Wrigley. So yeah, so working with Star Wars and Skittles. Yeah, Star Wars Skittles and Lifesavers candy. So right, a little bit of concessions, on those brand side.
Yeah, you had told me that before, but I think you led with the Skittles part, so I understood it. So were you part of the, were you there when they were doing all these crazy Marshawn Lynch rainbow things and the they were doing a lot of interesting marketing back in the day?
Yes, I actually was had just moved off the brand at that time. I was actually working on another seasonal product for Wrigley, the Halloween and Valentine's Day portfolio. But some of my colleagues worked on those partnerships with Marshawn, and you know, the first one that we did with Marshawn was a natural, you know, after one of the touchdowns that he had, and then kind of blossomed into a much bigger campaign. So really fascinating story there, and they were very excited about what they're able to execute.
Yeah, always good when there's sort of that organic, you just find someone who really loves the brand and you tap into it, which I think is a good segue here, because I actually now am in possession of a Honey Baked Ham football helmet. Thank you. to talk a little bit about kind of the game day activation and really where the brand is starting to evolve from, you know, the perspective of trying to come into some new occasions, you know, maybe get a little bit more every day, but then also just really catering to, you know, some audiences where it's a great fit. So tell us a little bit about the game day and the football that probably a lot of listeners have seen just from, you know, the ad campaigns lately and also just some of the influencers you've tapped into.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Danny. I appreciate, you know, the call out there. You know, as we talked last time about Honey Baked, you know, the brand awareness and equity for Honey Baked is really driven by the premium, you know, great gathering experiences that you have at the holiday. You're looking for some great food. You want to have a great time with your friends and family. And so naturally, there's a lot of really good connections between that holiday experience and the products that we develop. As we're looking to get to that everyday spot, exactly what you were saying, we tried to find other occasions that people are gathering together. They're looking for a great product, willing to maybe indulge a little bit more. And obviously, there's a natural connection between that and football. And so, you know, this past year, we launched that first full campaign around football with some of the partnerships we had with ACC and SEC. We worked with Laura Rutledge and Katie George as kind of some of our influencers and spokespeople for the brand out there to make our brand kind of more relevant for this time where we think our product really fits really well in the minds of consumers. And I think one of the things, Danny, that, you know, tied to that is as we think through us being a really big holiday season, it really was about priming the pump for the holiday season. So getting ahead of people's, you know, thinking about the holidays, making sure that we are relevant even before we are kind of most relevant out there was a key contributor to us launching that program. Super excited about what we did in the first year. We're still in the first year. Obviously, there's a few more weeks of football coming up. We have some of the bowl season. We have, you know, some more, you know, NFL playoffs coming up. And so I think you may hopefully see some exciting things from us. And we're already in the process of thinking about what we can do bigger in year two.
Have you had honey baked ham, Ben?
Well, yeah, I was going to mention it. I had not ever had it before until I met my girlfriend, who they get a ham from Honey Baked Ham every year for Thanksgiving. And that's
so
what
had
I
last week.
Really learned, you know, like those places are crazy, like leading up to they're insane. Like the line was like out the door. Like the places I went, they had to put like a security guard outside just because like so many people are inside the stores, you know, waiting in line for their ham or their food. And, you know, you go inside and they have like, you know, different lines set up for pickup and for, you know, people trying to order from off the menu inside. So, yeah, I've come to know the brand quite closely over the past couple of years just based off of Thanksgiving. I was actually going to ask Tripp, if I may, Danny, I was going to ask him about like the Thanksgiving push and, you know, how hectic or crazy things get around this time of year. Because, like, I mean, the name of the brand is ham. And, like, I mean, other than turkey, you know, the most traditional dish you think about when you think about Thanksgiving is ham. It's like on the plate of every dining room table in America almost. So I was just curious about, you know, what that stretch is like for you guys.
Generally a lot more delicious than turkey. Let's just put that
out. I appreciate it, Danny. I will say we do have very great turkey product as well. If you ever guys want to kind of, you know, get some honey baked turkey, but, you know, Ben, that's a great kind of question. You know, really what's interesting is honey baked for a while, our biggest season was the Christmas season. And the reason, and I'd say the Christmas holiday season, because it's multiple weeks, right? Really starting after Thanksgiving on Black Friday, leading up to really New Year's Eve and New Year's, you have a whole month of entertaining that you're doing, whether it is, you know, small family gatherings, office parties, you know, other friends getting together. Then you have the big, you know, elements, the big holidays out there as well, the celebrations that our products really fit well with. So historically, Christmas has been our biggest season. Recently, though, Ben, exactly what you're experiencing is Thanksgiving has been growing tremendously for us. And what's fascinating is with the holiday season, you know, post Thanksgiving, you have 5 weeks that you're doing business. With Thanksgiving, you have 2 weeks, really. And really, this past year, it's been about 1 week. It sounds like you were shopping in our stores on Tuesday and Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We actually set on Tuesday the largest sales day we've ever had in the history this past Tuesday. And then we exceeded that on Wednesday in terms of sales. And we were selling hourly records as well. And that's exactly what you said, is people are coming in at that time for us, and really it's exploded for us. And what's interesting, Ben, you mentioned the multiple lines in store. That's one of the things that we're trying to do differently at Honey Baked, is we're going to have people who walk in and want to order off the menu and see what's out there. But a lot of customers now are ordering online ahead, making reservations, paying online. And you can, if you pay online, you can skip that line. So next time when you're with your girlfriend, their family, remind them about that. But yeah, no, I mean, Thanksgiving's a crazy time of year for us. And we're excited that this past Thanksgiving has been super successful for us.
Why do you think it's growing right now? I mean, I would think that probably the ability to order ahead is really unlocked a lot of consumers who potentially previously, you know, just maybe didn't want to call or something like that. But I mean, or is it just the trend, you know, in terms of a lot more people are getting at home holiday meals, or the grocery stores are, you know, crazy expensive now, or maybe it's a lot of all of these things together, you know, who knows? What's kind of your take on that?
Yeah, I think so. These are a few things I kind of tie into that, Danny. I think first, when you think about Thanksgiving versus some of the other holidays out there, you know, Thanksgiving is a very kind of, I would say, an American holiday, right? So, you know, regardless of kind of, you know, the family, you know, mix that's out there, kind of, or the friends who are coming together, you're having mostly the consistent meat, the items out there, right? You think about the hams, the turkeys, the sweet potatoes, the mashed potatoes, the green beans, you know, broccoli, all things that are kind of our core that offering that we have. So I think naturally there's a lens between kind of what our products are, Danny and Ben, and kind of what's on the traditional menu. So that's, I think, the first thing. I think secondly, as you were saying, you know, Danny, some of the lines that people are having or experiencing have been growing tremendously. Everybody's doing Thanksgiving now. You're doing Friendsgiving. And so there's just more happening in that short time period. And for us, now that we can have these different channels for people to, you know, to shop Honey Baked, whether that is walking in, whether it is going through our buy online, pick up in store, or even shipping directly to yourself, there is that convenience factor that you can skip those lines out there. But I think most importantly is you're getting, as you mentioned before, a delicious product at the end of the day, right? It's a distinct ham that, you know, Ben, I'm glad you experienced it this year. You can now say like, hey, yeah, honey baked is different. It's worth the drive. It's worth a little bit of the wait out there. And so I think all those things kind of coming together really has kind of helped us fuel that growth in Thanksgiving.
You know, it's funny. The other day I was, I have this terrible habit that I eat like in the middle of the night. And so with the honey, I had a honey baked ham in the fridge. And I was just eating the top of it, you know, like the, I was basically breaking the like crunchy part the glaze, off of it, yeah, and eating it. So then the next day, and I don't really remember when I do this. And then the next day when we went actually to like cut it up or, you know, or plate it, whatever, you know, my wife was like, there's no top on like the ham. So I just ate, I just sat there eating the like, you know, caramel glaze or whatever the glaze is made of. I'm sure it's proprietary. But either way, that was a weird behavior on my part, but a good sign of what this tastes like.
Yeah, no, for sure. People love the glaze. What we're trying to do right now on the innovation side, Danny, is finding ways that we can, you know, have that glaze like separately. Maybe we'll have some cookies to the glaze kind of built into it as well. Maybe some other products with it. But that's what we're known for. And you're not the only one who's picking off the top of the ham for sure.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about this holiday campaign. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's the first time you've had a new holiday TV, you know, platform here in about 6 years or so. So tell us what's going on. You know, what's the message out there and what we can expect?
Yeah, no, we're excited about it because really when we did some of the research, we looked at how we can differentiate Honeybaked from, you know, other brands out there. It really came down to the core of who we are. And again, I mentioned before, I go back to the delicious and distinct. And that's something that we've talked about, you know, previously, but haven't really highlighted as much as we wanted to. And so with this new campaign, we really focused on kind of getting back to the core of our, you know, the core of our products, showing the delicious ham and turkey products, showing the delicious sides and desserts that we have out there, and really doubling down on this idea that we say everybody's a celebration. You know, Ben, we talked earlier kind of how, you know, we talk about these premium gatherings and Honeybaked being synonymous with it. That's what we want to celebrate through this. We want to kind of show people coming together, sharing a plate of Honeybaked happiness, and really enjoying that the holiday. And so that kicked off, as you mentioned, Danny, it's our first new TV commercial and digital spots we've done in the past 6 years. Those started trafficking for Thanksgiving earlier this month. We have a different kind of iteration, kind of some nods to the Christmas holiday season that's going to be releasing shortly. So we've heard some great feedback from our customers, from our internal kind of teams here, excited about it. So we're looking forward to seeing that continue to drive some strong traffic into our stores.
I have another question on menu, Danny. Like you mentioned, Trip, you know, Honeybaked ham really plays well into those gathering occasions. You know, they have the food made for that. You know, the ham, the turkey, that's made for those gathering occasions. I'm curious about, other occasions. You know, like in the springtime or the summertime. Could you kind of talk us through, you know, what you might be doing with your menu to kind of fulfill those other maybe single occasions, or like for, you know, maybe for a person who may want lunch, you know, or dinner, something like outside of those premium occasions. How do you kind of, what are you guys kind of doing with the menu kind of fulfill those customer needs as well?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ben. So I think there's a few things. So first, from the kind of innovation in terms of flavors, we talked a little bit about, we have some sliders that have come out. The sliders are available for the 12-pack for dinner, but also 3-pack for lunch. And so one of the things that we're trying to do with our sliders is remind people that we have kind of other things on the menu besides the great ham and turkey. So you may be seeing some sliders that feature some of our, we have pulled pork. We have some ribs. We have some braised beef options out there. So we're using that to maybe kind of innovate a little bit. And so you'll see kind of some new LTOs coming out this winter, summer, and kind of in the fall timeframe on a regular basis. We're going to introduce some of those new kind of flavors out there. I think the other thing too, you know, Ben, as you mentioned, you know, as we think through those other occasions, you know, lunch in particular, we are trying to make it more convenient. We do have 400 stores across the U.S., everybody knows that we're open for the holidays, but we are open year round, and we do have a great lunch offering. And so when you think about that, how can we make that more convenient for people to experience it? Well, one is looking at store design or trying to improve that so people feel comfortable, you know, sitting, staying, and relaxing in a casual environment. but also grab and go. We know that's a huge thing that people are kind of coming in and you know, grabbing things and going. So how can we make that more convenient? Well, you know, you can now order online ahead for your lunch. We're going to be launching an app probably in the next few months as well to kind of feature some of those lunch options as well. And so I think, Ben, to your point, it's about some new offerings, but also how do we kind of tap into and make it more easy to participate in those different occasions like lunch out there. So the last thing I'll say is we are looking at some serving sizes as well and different kind of protein combinations, because you know, we know that we love our, you know, call our 9-pound bone-in half ham is a great product to have, but not everybody wants to have a 9-pound bone and half ham on for the whole week. Right. So how do we find a way to kind of make that product more relevant for a smaller group of maybe 2 or 3 people? And so you'll see some innovation as we think through the different kind of main bone-in protein items that we have as well.
Yeah, that might have helped me not eat it at 3 a.m. but not that I have regrets. So yeah, tell us a little bit about the biscuits in particular. I think when we had talked a few weeks ago, you know, they were kind of, you know, out there into the world, but what's the response been like? You know, I see, you know, you've got kind of turning it into take and bake as well here in the future, but how have customers responded to them? And, you know, just that kind of, you know, people have very strong feelings about biscuits, as we know.
Oh yeah. And you know, we're based in outside of Atlanta in Alpharetta, and we know that biscuits are huge in the Southeast. You know, Danny, I know you're in, I think, North Carolina right now, Ben, and I'm not sure if you're in the South, but you know, it's, the Southeast biscuits are king. So when we launched a product, we spent a lot of time understanding, okay, what type of biscuit do I want? Because the biscuit itself needs to be a great product. We can't go out there with a dry biscuit. We can't go out there with a biscuit that doesn't taste good. And so we spent a number of months innovating, testing with customers to understand really the right formula for us and for that biscuit product that works with our kind of ham out there. And so we were planning on launching closer to the holiday season, Thanksgiving season, for when you're having, you know, family and friends over and you're looking for kind of a breakfast item or a midday snack or kind of a pre-dinner snack out there, or even, you know, a lunch offering. And what we found is people loved it so much, we got it in market early, which was great. And so thus far, Danny, you know, the response has been positive. People are liking the biscuits. People are loving the combination of the biscuits and kind of the glaze that we have in our ham. And really, it's taken off with Thanksgiving. And so we're hoping that as we kind of get through Thanksgiving, as we kind of get to some of these other, you know, holiday gatherings, the office parties, people, you know, see it as a great way for like a handheld snack. We know that that's what a lot of consumers are looking for as well out there. So thus far, it's been positive. I think you'll see some more innovation in that. You may look at some new kind of flavor variants, maybe some ways to spice it up a little bit more. But we're excited with the positive feedback we've been hearing thus far on the biscuits.
I want to kind of shift the conversation more toward and development and such. First part of that, you mentioned store layout. Something that, you know, is something that's been going on across the industry, you know, fast food and fast casual restaurants tinkering with their store layout to kind of better meet the needs of guests in terms of off premises and digital and all that good stuff. I was hoping you could, you know, dive a little bit more as much as you can or speak broadly about the layout that you guys, you know, have historically have and what you guys are trying to move toward into the future in terms of, you know, what a customer might see when they walk into a honey baked ham.
Yeah, that's a really great question. It's a really interesting challenge that we have to solve at Honey Baked, because, you know, Ben, you experienced Honey Baked at one of the peak times out there, right? At that, you know, that Thanksgiving period. And you know, again, the holiday period is also equally busy, kind of Easter period also super busy for us. And so we have to be able to support those key periods because that's where the majority of our business is today. At the same time, we do have a strong everyday business and a growing everyday business. And so how do we make sure that the stores feel comfortable for, you know, those time periods? And so we have 400 stores across the US. We have a few different kind of layout configurations. I wouldn't say we have one prototype, but we have some design directions. But really, we work with that specific site to figure out how best the flow is going to work, both in that everyday and also that peak period at the holidays. If you add in some of those other elements that you mentioned in terms of kind of off-premise, you know, customers. So how do we make it easier to find your grab and go? How do you find it easier if you're a 3P partner coming in, you know, to pick up a delivery? those are challenges that I'm working through right now with my team, with our operations and our construction, and our design agencies to kind of figure out, you know, what the best layout is. So as it looks through the future, you know, our idea is, our vision is to kind of make the stores feel like a great kind of cafe, a place that you want to sit down, enjoy, you know, a lunch or an early dinner during the everyday period, that we can easily transition then during the peak periods to get people in and out as efficiently as they can for their holiday meals. I think the key part of that is we've had a great operations partner, a great field team that are used to doing it. You know, they turn over a store to go from a holiday to every day in about, you know, 2 or 3 days, then back to holiday again. So they're used to doing it to work with us, but it's a fun challenge to work towards with that team.
Yeah. You know, I always, you know, find it interesting. Obviously, you know, we eat ham on holidays like Easter and things that we've mentioned. We should start eating ham on Halloween too.
And, you know, I agree. Halloween, Memorial Day, you know, Valentine's Day. There's a lot of other kind of mini holidays out there that we're trying to tap into as well. So I agree with you, Danny.
Yeah. I mean, I've always found that to be an interesting concept. It's like, we forget that how great it is and easy it is, and the fact that it'll last you 4 days, you know. But yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, just kind of speaking about this holiday season in particular and some of the kind of trends you see out there. I mean, there was sort of this rush, I would say, a few years ago in sort of the heart of the pandemic about comfort foods and things like that. And, you know, how would you say, you know, what is the customer look or the consumer looking for right now? I mean, is comfort food still really, really big? Is it about, you know, accessibility and convenience, or what are just some of the holiday trends you see out there right now?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things, and it's kind of a little bit of nuance to kind of dive into that with Danny. I think first, I think comfort food will always be kind of tied to the holidays. I think what's even more important than comfort food is this having delicious food out there, right? Because if you think about it, you know, the holidays are really one of the few times a year where you're gathering with a big group of close friends and family. And so particularly for the hosts that are hosting, they want to have a positive impression on their guests and make sure their guests have a great experience. And so there is this kind of doubling down and making sure that you have kind of delicious food, you know, food out there. I think convenience plays a part in it, because you do want to have, you know, that time to enjoy the time with your guests out there. But we also know that, you know, sometimes the best times to connect with your friends and families are in the kitchen cooking together, right? So there's this mix of, you want it convenient, but you also want to be able to customize it a little bit kind of yourself or kind of to your various audiences out there. So it's, you know, a little bit of a balance between those two. I think outside of those two, Danny, the other things that we're seeing really is around holidays starting earlier. You know, people started thinking about, and then my family, we started thinking about Thanksgiving, getting ready for Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, even before, you know, Halloween this year, right? I mentioned before, I got 4 kids, and so they're always eager about the next big holiday. So, but we're seeing that trend kind of overall where people are starting thinking about holidays, you know, the big holidays even in October. So I think that's another trend out there. And then the last thing I'll say that around that is this idea of hosting. We've heard a lot from customers that this is the first time that they're maybe hosting their holiday, you know, events, whether it is Friendsgiving, Thanksgiving, pre-Christmas events, you know, holiday parties, you know, Christmas events out there. And they're looking for resources to make sure they can deliver a really great experience, you know, whether that's, you know, recipes, guides, you know, shopping guides, guidelines to, you know, hosting out there. And so one of the things that we've been doing is finding influencers and partners out there that can really kind of tap into that need to develop some content, to share some tips and tricks out there. And so we've been partnering with, you know, for the holiday season, Joanna Garcia Swisher is kind of, you know, speaking on behalf of the brand for us to do some Instagram posts to share some of her tips and tricks for the holidays. You'll see some more and more of that content coming out from Honey Baked in these next few weeks.
Trip, that's, you know, that point you mentioned is such a great point about this new generation is starting to become the host as opposed to the attendee. I'm 29, mm-hmm. I'm about to turn 30 in January, and I'm kind of like at that stage where it's like kind of switching over from, like, I go to these things where, like, the quote unquote adults are, like, you know, taking care of everything, to like actually becoming like that person who takes care of everything. And it's like an interesting feeling, because like at a certain point, like, you're gonna have to become these people who are the ones that are hosting. And you know, I do think
still waiting for my invite, Ben.
What's that?
I'm waiting for my honey baked ham invite for your.
I don't know. I don't know family. If I can smoke stuff like you can, Danny. I might.
Well, honey baked ham smokes at 24 hours. I think I read on here. So you
that's right. We do it for you. You don't have to worry about it. And that's the thing, Ben. You can use honey baked ham to take that anxiety off. You can pick out some great products from us. We take care of that. You can focus on some of the other elements of kind of you know hosting your guests out there. So that's what we're trying to tap into. That exact. Idea about.
No, you're tapping to the exact need of my generation. There's a lot more Bens out there like me who would love having all that stuff kind of rolled out, taking care of them for them, just having to flip a switch on the oven or whatever to take care of things for sure. So it's an interesting idea and marketing tool, because I think that with the rise in TikTok and social media, ideas being shared, and this millennials and Gen Z starting to realize, how much you have in common and going to each other for advice. I just think that it's a really wise marketing tool to use those platforms to reach those guests, and also use these popular influencers, which is another big thing that's happening in restaurants nowadays, using influencer marketing to kind of reach these folks. I guess I'll kind of dive further into that question, the influencer marketing question. We see a lot more brands doing this nowadays, using these voices that are closer to the fan base to kind of get your brand ideal across. When you guys engage in relationships with these influencers, what are sort of the guardrails that you go by? You know, what are some of the things that you let you know that, okay, this will be a good relationship for a honey baked ham? Like, that we would like to have this person speak on behalf of our brand, because it's a new territory for restaurants. So I'm curious as to, how you guys sort of kind of dive into that.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting challenge that we work through and discuss. And I think the first thing, Ben, is we want to make sure it's an authentic interaction, right? I think, as you mentioned, the consumers out there who are on Instagram and TikTok, they have a healthy skepticism of anything they see out there. Yeah. And so I think if we try to force a relationship that just seems not authentic or true, it's just going to fall flat and kind of not be a great experience for anybody involved, and not really reflect positively on the brand. So we always look for partners that we hear and we talk to them, have you used our product before? Do you like honey baked ham? And we kind of probe and make sure that there's a natural fit there. And then as we think through kind of, the culture that is honey baked, we want things that we are, proud of, and you may have heard this from some of our influencers. We are a 65-year-old family owned company. So, what that means is, we've been around, we have that family culture, that collaborative area. We call each other the ham fam. And so when we think about kind of our, our partners out there, we want to make sure that they fit with our kind of ham fam, while also getting us into kind of new audiences out there that we not be able to reach, whether we go through kind of TV or kind of radio or some of the traditional kind of advertising out there. We then work really closely with them to say, hey, which of our products are your favorite ones? Because if we give you a product that you're not passionate about, then you may not be able to speak as authentically as you can about it. And so try to find that way, whether that is that bone-in half ham, whether it is that turkey product, whether it is, maybe the sliders of the biscuits if you have kind of kids out there. And so finding those influencers who can reach those audiences in an authentic way with the products that make the most sense, I think is one of the key things that we always look at when we think about these partnerships.
Yeah, I think broadly speaking, it's a good development for the industry, just because I think some of the mascots of old, they were borderline creepy at times, as I'm sure as a marketer. I still remember the Burger King video game where the guy was jumping out of the bushes. And, they leaned into it, but it was definitely strange. So I think the industry is better off with influencers and some more organic marketing than it was having mascots, but just my two cents.
Yeah, we're excited about the work that we're doing with some of the influencers, for sure. Ben, sorry, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say that I think it's just a result of the whole mascot thing. It's like it worked for, the generation of, like, 80s and 90s and stuff, and even a little bit 2000. I just think that things being so digital and online now, and people just being more connected than ever, it just, people just look to people more, I guess, especially on TikTok and stuff. And I don't know, I guess, Gen Z, and I guess my generation too, like they just have just a distinct personality that's just so far different than what was in the past. And like Tripp was saying, the ability, the need for authenticity, and they have a very, I think, a lot more strict kind of perspective on, you know, what's BS and what's not. And I don't know, like, I kind of think in that kind of era and that kind of viewpoint, the whole mascot thing is they just kind of so disingenuous.
I personally call this the world is flat phenomenon, which is basically that if you think the world is flat, then you can go find a lot of people who think the world is flat. And then, you know, within 3 hours of searching the internet, you've probably found a Facebook group, a Reddit thread, you know, five different forums, and you'll eventually connect with a group of world is flatters, and you will now be part of the world is flat community. And that's so if you think about that broadly, it's like you can't really have a mascot now from a brand who tells you what you should care about, because you just have too much control over that.
Right.
And so in the case of like a influencer, it's much better to tap into that world, because you're going into someone who already has a dedicated fan base, right, who listens to them, versus like, right, saying you should care about biscuits.
I think too, and Ben, you're kind of alluding to this as well. I think what also helps with having kind of these kind of influencers and being aware what's happening in the zeitgeist at that time is if there is a trend that's out there, you can move pretty quickly to get some content out there, right? You know, as opposed to if you have more of the traditional, you know, TV commercial productions, you know, getting a director, getting a script, you know, all that stuff out there just takes time. You may miss the moment that's out there. And so I think what these influencers out there, what we're trying to do with some of the social presence is to be able to tap into when things happen, when somebody says, oh, hey, did you know about honey baked ham, you know, as a big part of this person's dinner? Or if you like, hey, have you heard about honey baked ham lunch that's out there? You know, we can do things to kind of amplify those voices to make sure that our message are getting across exactly as you were saying, Ben and Danny, in a more authentic way to an audience that's already, you know, ready to be engaged, going to hear about it.
Yeah. And also good not to put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
You know, like poor Subway, right? So, you know, or Papa John's for that matter, where it wasn't really, you know, it's not to nobody's fault, but if you have like one big spokesperson type of thing, yeah, it's there's some risk in that kind of world. But
Yeah,
anyway, we're not going down those dark paths. Well, Tripp, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, well, what were you going to say, Ben?
Latch on to Tripp's last point there about capturing the moment. I don't know if you guys saw that the most recent example of that very viral moment where this person's car like caught on fire, but she had a Stanley Cup in there. And like it kept the ice in there, and like the Stanley Cup, you know, reached out to her immediately, and they got her a new car, and like it just the PR move, which is played so well, like they go viral along with this person, but they get the added benefit of, you know, the showing off the product strength, but also the goodwill that they show to the woman, and just all like A pluses all around. And like it's an example of like being able to immediately tap into something to get, you know, probably something that would have been cost them thousands and thousands of dollars to spend to get these kind of impressions, by just like leveraging something that's already existing and getting their message out there so much more quickly than they would have tried to do it, you know, on their end internally. And I think a lot of brands are starting to recognize that more and more these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Great example of just, you know, real time engagement in an authentic way that just resonated, that you couldn't put a price on what, you know, what happened there. I think that's what we're trying to do with kind of our kind of holiday campaign right now, as we're kind of get it ramped up. And as you think about thinking about football 2.0, I think you'll see more and more of us kind of tapping into that same exact idea, Ben. Great call. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thank you, Tripp, so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You know, obviously it's going to be a busy month for you. So, you know, good luck. You know, thank you for sharing all your insights, and, you know, we'll continue to follow along and see where you all head from here.
Awesome. Well, Danny, Ben, I appreciate it. Have a great holiday season. Enjoy some more honey baked ham and turkey products out there, and look forward to kind of hear more of the stuff that you guys are doing as well. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, and for everybody out there who's listening, as always, we appreciate it. We'll see you next time.